The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, and we'll commence reading at the verse marked 1. Now let's hear the words of the Lord. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but speak evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Siva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. We're ending our reading there at verse 20. May the Lord bless the reading to all our hearts. Thinking about the Protestant Reformation and thinking about what happened after Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door there in Wittenberg. this text came to mind. Acts chapter 19 and verse 20. Because I know for sure that this text, first of all, describes the great work of God, indeed the great revival that flowed from and grew out of the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Lord Jesus had said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." But I'm also suggesting to you this morning that this verse can also sum up that great work of God, that great revival in the Protestant Reformation. Look what it says in verse 20 of Acts 19. "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And there's no doubt as you read through the book of Acts, indeed that's not the only text that describes the mighty work of God that was wrought in the book of Acts. For instance, if you look back to chapter 12, the chapter 12 and the verse 24. We read there at an earlier stage, verse 24 of chapter 12 of Acts, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." And then if you look at chapter 6 and the verse number 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So we have this ongoing story through the book of Acts of a mighty work of God that was wrought. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now I want you to notice something familiar to those three texts of Scripture that we've read, because they all speak of the word of God. They all speak of an increase. They all speak of a growing, an advancing, a prevailing of the word of God. And you know, brothers and sisters, let's pause for a moment and let's remember, there's one thing. There were many things, but if there's one thing that the Protestant Reformation recovered from the darkness of Rome, it was the Word of God, unadorned, unadulterated. Indeed, if you study and read Luther's life, that man buried himself in the study of the Scriptures. Indeed, it was through his careful study of the Scriptures that he came to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without works. And so this text, it certainly is a great description of God's work in the book of Acts, but it's also a great description of God's work in the Protestant Reformation. But let's ask ourselves a question this morning. Before I come to this, you know, we should take that verse, mark it in your Bible, and pray over it. Let us all determine on this Reformation Sunday that we will go to God in prayer and we will ask the Lord on that verse of Scripture that God the Holy Spirit will again bless mightily the growing of the Word of God and that it will prevail in our day and in our generation. We can make a list, and many of God's people are doing it. And you sit in our prayer meetings and we hear the list as people will go over all the obstacles that stand in our way today. In fact, you could say that in our day, other things are prevailing against the church. Other things are prevailing against the increasing of the Word of God. Other things are prevailing against us as believers in Christ. We have, for instance, a very militant atheism and humanism which has risen up. I was saved in 1977. And way back in those days, I must confess, I hardly had heard of an atheist or knew one personally. I knew people who would say, well, I don't know if there's a God or not. But we have men who are writing books. They are publishing books. They are sending out books, filling young people's minds and hearts with atheistic doctrines, humanistic doctrines. A man was preaching in the open air in the wee village of Corridor, which is just down the Ards Peninsula, one Saturday night, and there was two young girls sitting in a bus shelter. And he decided he would go down as others were preaching and singing in the open air. He went down to give them a tract. And when he offered the tract and wanted to speak to them about the things of God, they looked at him. They said, "Mister, you are a sad old man. We don't believe in that heaven or hell. Nobody believes that today. You are a sad old man." He replied, "Well, I might be old, but I'm not sad, because I'm glad I'm saved. And you need to be saved." But that is the mentality today. Do we not have to admit today there is a prevailing against the church, against creation? But our text says, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. And we must, yes, we can pray. We can tell the Lord about all these things. The Lord knows about them, and it's good to cast our burden upon the Lord. The New Testament church met for times of prayer. You can read that in the book of Acts. And they would say to the Lord in prayer, "Lord, behold their threatenings." And we do know, for instance, that men like Richard Dawkins have even said that Christian parents who teach their children the biblical doctrine of creation should be arrested for child abuse and put into prison. And we're living in a day when men have declared and constantly declare through the media they want to dig a big hole and they want to bury the Bible and they want to bury the Word of God and cover it over and make it a thing of the past. Well, I'd like to dig a big hole and put Dawkins in it, but then I'm a Christian and I can't do that. But God will bury him one day. God will bury him one day. And when the bones of that man are decomposing in the dust, God's truth will go marching on. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. How wonderful. Is it possible that we could see this again in our day? It is possible. It is possible. I want you to come over to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Familiar words, but let's read them again. Chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The point I would make upon that scripture is this. When the Lord Jesus said to his disciples on that day, ere he would leave them and ascend back to heaven, when he said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, was that just true of then? Was that just true of the days of the Acts of the Apostles? Was that just true in the days of the Reformation, or is that true to the end of the age? It's true to the end of the age. Did you notice in verse 17 of Acts 28, some doubted? Imagine, after all that they had witnessed, after all that they had heard, after all that they had seen the Lord do, some doubted. And then the Lord says, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Come over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I've already made reference to this verse, but let's read it again. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here the Lord Jesus promises power. Power to do what? Power to witness. Power to be a witness. Is that true just of that day? No, that's a promise for the whole age. You can pray over that. You can say, Lord, give me power. In fact, let's be honest, every time we set our hand to do anything of any spiritual nature in the kingdom of God, indeed anything at all for the Lord, we need to pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Have you ever gone to someone to talk to them about the gospel and you feel so weak and your words seem to fall to the ground and you're stammering and stuttering, and you can't get the message out. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 14. But Peter. Now you could pause there and say a lot about that. But Peter. You think of Peter. You think all that had happened to Peter in the previous weeks. Especially when the Lord was arrested. And yet, what does it say? But Peter standing up. Standing up. With the 11. Lifted up his voice. Can you see this man? Standing up. Lifting up his voice. And said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. He's standing up. He's lifting up his voice, and he's saying to these men, listen here, I have a message from God for you. The point I'm making, brothers and sisters, is that these things are promised for us as well as them. The Lord Jesus was giving instruction for the whole church age till he comes. In great power and in great glory. Let's go back to Acts chapter 19. And we want to ask the question which I was going to pose and then went off there in a bit of a tangent. But how does the Word of God grow and prevail? How did it grow and prevail? How can it grow and prevail in our day and in our generation? You know, first of all, we could say this, and I've already alluded to it. But it's quite clear when you read the entire Bible, but when you read the book of Acts, that God uses means. That God uses men and God uses women. The Bible says that after the persecution came, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The apostles remained at Jerusalem, but the believers through persecution scattered abroad, but they went everywhere spreading the gospel. So when the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed, we need to remember this. God was using men and God was using women. God can use you and God can use me to see this word of God grow and prevail. When was the last time? Be honest before God. When was the last time you shared your testimony with someone, spoke the gospel to someone, gave someone a tract, gave someone a CD, gave someone a DVD to spread abroad the message? When was the last time? You know, we're living in a day when, through modern technology, we have so many various means and methods of getting out the message. Are we taking advantage? You see, God uses a man just like you. God uses a woman just like you. Doesn't matter what height you are. Tall or small. Doesn't matter your build. Doesn't even matter your education. Thank God for people who are well versed and educated. But God can use a farmer. I'm not suggesting farmers aren't educated. Farmers are educated in ways maybe the rest of us aren't. God can use a postman, a fisherman. God can take the weak things. Let me be blunt. God can take a doughhead in the eyes of the world and you could be the instrument, a link in the chain that will see someone brought into Christ. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So God can use you and me. That's the point. You read the book of Acts. God was using men. God was using women. Of course, we can say, secondly, that so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed through the preaching, the public preaching of the gospel. And you have Peter there on the day of Pentecost. You have Philip going down to Samaria. You have the Apostle Paul, the great missionary and church planter and evangelist and theologian. And you go through the book of Acts, and here's these men that God called to preach and to speak the word of the Lord. We need to pray for our preachers. We need to take God-given providential opportunities. Now, it's coming up to Christmas. I don't know if you like Christmas or you don't like it. But what an opportunity to give out the gospel. What an opportunity to give a Bible as a present. What an opportunity to include a little gospel booklet in a present. Maybe one that speaks about those events in that little town of Bethlehem. How we need to be wise. He that winneth souls is wise. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. If you look there at verse number 8 of Acts chapter 19, let's just point out some things. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, can we not learn from that a lesson? We need to be patient. We need to be fervent. We need to be earnest. We need to be prayerful. We need to be careful. But we need to be patient. Paul took 3 months. The space of 3 months. If you look at verse 10, it says, "And this continued by the space of 2 years." I tell you what we should do. You know, you if you've never done this, you go out of this meeting, and before you sit down for your dinner, you pray on the way home. You say, "Lord, lay in my heart now a name, a family member, fellow I work with in work, or a girl I work with, somebody in school or college, somebody, the neighbor next door." And you write out their name when you get home, and you determine to pray for that soul. Are you willing to pray for that soul for 3 months? Are you willing to pray for that soul for 2 years? Look at verse 9, something else just to notice. But when divers, that word divers there, it doesn't mean boys that go down into the deep. It's an old English word, many different people. And when many different were hardened and believed not, there's a lesson for us. Not everybody that hears the word of God is going to be saved. I remember some years ago, wasn't long saved. I was up the stairs in a flat in the Scrabble Estate, Newton Arch, stone steps. I knocked the door. I started to speak to the man about the things of God, and he literally chased me, threw me, cajoled me down those stone steps. Thankfully, I kept my feet. Oh, some were hardened and believed not. But the thing is this, God drew people to himself. It says there at the end of verse 10, so that all they which dwelt in Asia Minor, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And remember this, when you and I, and we might know a whole lot, but we know the Lord, and we have the Holy Spirit, and if you're earnest and honest, and you give out the word prayerfully, you have behind you, you have with you, you have underneath you and over above you and all around you the mighty power of God. And it's God the Holy Spirit can open eyes, and it's God the Holy Spirit can draw people to himself. You see, the gospel is the power of God on the salvation. So if you give out the gospel, the power of God goes with it. Some might be hardened and hate it. Others, praise God, will repent and believe it. You come down there to verses 13 and on, you have this man who... There are these men, there were seven sons, and they were involved in the dark arts. And they thought they could use this power. But this power is for the church. This power is not for the psychic up the street, or the fortune teller, or the creator that reads the palms of your hands or your tea bags, or believes in cures or curses. This power is for the Lord's people. And when the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed, it prevailed against even these servants of the devil. When Martin Lloyd-Jones was preaching there in the little church where he started in Wales, people began to come and flock under the ministry of the Lord's servant. God was working in power. People were being saved, becoming Christians. Down the street there was one of these fortune-telling type folk, a woman. And one day, I think I'm right and memory's right, she wasn't feeling too well. But anyway, she didn't have one of her meetings. But she had been noticing for weeks that people flocking into that little church to hear Martin Lloyd-Jones preach, she decided, I'll go and just see what on earth is the attraction there. And she went. And she got saved. And she was talking to someone, maybe it was Martin Lloyd-Jones himself, and she was asked, what was the difference? You were serving the devil, and you came in under the sound of the preaching of God's word, and you believed there was a power in your meetings. She was some sort of clairvoyant, and we believe in the power of God in our meetings. What was the thing? You know what she says? She says, yes, but the power in your meetings was clean. It was clean. See, it was of God. And you know, we can give out the word of God. It happened in the book of Acts. It happened in the Protestant Reformation. It happens in times of great revival. It can happen to you and to me. If we give out the word of God, God's word can grow and can prevail. Think of this. Think of a family, maybe no thought of God, no church connection at all. And God comes in and saves the father. And through saving the father, the whole family is brought to know the word of God. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In closing, will you come over to the book of Amos for a moment? And if you can, you know, do read about the Reformation. Get the life story of Luther. I'll say a little about it tonight, but it's a wonderful story. Well, we've read about a day when so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. But look at this. I close with this. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, it's quite clear that that's a judgment. You know, God can judge nations, and he does in many ways. God judges nations in time because there are no nations in eternity. We stand before God in eternity as persons, individually. If God's going to deal with a nation, he'll do it in time. And here's the worst kind of a judgment, when there's a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord and people are running, seeking it, and they can't find it. But you know what's wonderful about that? That's a terrible thing. But what's wonderful is this, brothers and sisters, in the United Kingdom today, yes, there's darkness. Yes, there's apostasy. Yes, there's atheism. But we still have the preaching of the word of God. You can find churches, you can find halls, you can find places, praise God, where the word is still proclaimed. And that's a great thing. That rejoices my soul, because that tells me this: God has not. Oh, I believe there's judgments. I believe Great Britain is under judicial judgment. But it's not the judgment where there's not the hearing of the words of the Lord. Does that not encourage us? Because perhaps the day will come. Perhaps the day may come when the judgment will be that severe. But today we have the opportunity of hearing the words of the Lord. And we have the opportunity of getting those words out to men and women and to boys and to girls. Amen. May the Lord bless those thoughts to our hearts. Can we sing one verse of 641? Revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with the voice that wakes the dead, and make thy people hear. Verse 1 in the chorus, please, as we stand.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt indeed revive thy work and revive thy work in our hearts. First of all, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt encourage us to have all confidence in the prevailing power and nature of the Word of God. Lord, we know there are people out there who think they know what the Bible says. They think they've read that it's full of myths and contradictions, but they've never actually read it. Oh God, we pray that thou wilt give us opportunities to witness to people, to tell people. We think even of what's happening at the present time in the Middle East, and how we can tell people that these nations are mentioned in the Word of God and Israel's history is in the Word of God and the Jewish people are in the Word of God, and through that we can witness. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us humility. But give us power. And we pray that thou wilt save to the glory of thy name. We have loved ones. They're getting older. They need to be saved. We have children. Maybe children who are going out into secondary education or going out into the world. And these things come up against them. Help them, Lord, to be well versed in thy precious word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon all, Lord, your people. Bless tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.